Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, December 23rd, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 50, reading the last word and a third, and then continuing through the end of that paragraph, which we split into two readings because it's so meaty. Beginning with the end of page 50, once confused and baffled, ending with they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. That's the bottom of page 50 and on to page 51. Today's readers are Anne S. for the 12 steps, Shay D. for the 12 traditions, Penny L. C. will read in common for us, Jody E. will read page 164. Lois P. will greet our newcomers, and Betsy H. will close us out with some announcements. COA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Anne S., will you please read the 12 steps for us?
Hi, good morning. My name is Anne S., and I'm in Maine. And here are the 12 steps we took. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to all compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne S. And Shay D., will you please read the 12 traditions for us?
Good morning. This is Shay D., gratefully recovering in California. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever nonprofessional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shady. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're at the very end of page 50, reading the last word in a third, which begins with, once confused and baffled, and ends with a powerful reason, we should have faith. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to please read and comment on that for us.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning to everyone on the line. And thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, they show the underlying reason why they were making heavy going of life. Leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. They show how the change came over them. When many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. And that's the end of the reading. And reflecting on this for me, yes, my life felt pointless and useless. My reasons were, to me, I could see how my life was unmanageable at that point. I was sure, first of all, though, that it was because of the obesity, and secondly, it was because everyone and everything else were the problem, and I felt I was the victim. Once the food was in place, I was faced with my own insanity. Once I began to surrender my will and let go of trying to be in control, then healthy thinking came as a gift of grace. The change was also another reason to confirm my belief that my higher power could do for me what I could not and never would be powerful enough to do for myself. And through the conscious contact with my higher power becoming an integral part of my day, every day, I've been guided through the step work, leading me to change my outlook on life and to change my thoughts and actions. Then I was able to adopt a new way of healthy living and a new way of healthy interacting, doing, and being. As a result, my spiritual journey is the most important fact of my life. My relationship with my higher power is my primary focus. One day at a time, I'm able to live in the promises and to live happy, joyous, and free. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny L.C. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on this paragraph and you haven't shared it in the last 2 days, then please press star one to unmute. Give us your name.
Robin P. in Portugal.
Robin P. in Portugal.
Marilyn
T.
from
in
Oregon.
Michigan.
I heard Marilyn and somebody T. in Michigan.
That's Lydia T. in Michigan.
Lydia T.
Gail K. in Southern California.
Gail K.
Jamie M. Southern California.
Jamie M.
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. Okay.
Stephanie W.
Stephanie W. I got you.
Thank you.
We got quite a lineup here. All right. Robin P., Marilyn N., Lydia T., Gail K., Jamie M., Tamara C., Reggie O., Stephanie W. Wow. So Robin P., please kick us off. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Thanks so much for your service and for everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And we are in Lagos, Portugal, and we are returning to the U.S. today in 48 hours. It's a 24-hour trip and then goes longer. So I'm very grateful. I feel like what keeps coming up for me about this paragraph is a faith that works. You know, it's a real faith that works. And, you know, we visited 27 cities and all through Europe in 3 months, and I did it abstinently with God's grace and mercy and all of you and your love and my God squad and my sponsor. And, you know, it's a we recovery. And I always think of wellness begins with we and illness and isolation begin with I. And I'm so grateful for outreach. I'm so grateful for 10 steps, for the steps work. It's a faith that works. And reliance on my higher power. You know, God's been with us literally every step of the way. And we have a really long journey ahead of us. And there's strikes going on at the London airport. And, you know, God will carry us just like we've been carried every day. I'm coming up on 7 years of abstinence on Christmas Day by God's grace and mercy. And it's all because of you and God and this program and these steps. And I'm eternally grateful, and I love you a lot, Elaine, and I pass. God bless everybody. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. God bless everybody this holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin. Safe travels home. Or back to the U.S. anyway. Okay, Marilyn, I didn't catch the first initial of your last name, so please share that with us. And you're up next, followed by Lydia T.
I'm Marilyn Kay, and I'm from Oregon, and thank you very much for leading the group today. I listened to Vision for You many mornings, but I haven't shared in a long time, but somehow I felt called, and I think that's from my higher power to share. In reading this section, I reminded me of 7 years ago when I would do a lot of compulsive eating in the evening and felt like I couldn't stop. I went to my bedroom and I sat and I prayed and asked higher power to take away this compulsion, and I haven't had that compulsion come back in 7 years. I feel like I've been recently trying to have my higher power be more with me, and so I've been trying to stop from when I try to do one activity. If I remember, I'll try to take a deep breath and thank God for being with me and then ask for the next best step to do. I do that. I started maybe a year ago with about 10%, and now I think I'm up to about 40%, so I feel that is progress. I have also, when I don't know what to do, I have a God box, and I put my needs in the God box. And almost all the time, I shouldn't say almost, all the time, somehow eventually I'll have a direction to go. I feel very blessed by being in this program, and thank you each for the way that you've touched my life, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Marilyn K. Lydia T. is up next, followed by Gail K. Please share with us, Lydia.
Hi, this is Lydia T., gratefully recovered in Marquette, Michigan today. I wanted to thank everybody who does service on this meeting. If it wasn't for this meeting, I don't know where my life would be today. You know, and when I read this paragraph myself and listened to it being read, what really struck out to me was I was once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence and the underlying reasons of making heavy going of life, leaving aside the drink question. My eating and my other behaviors were what I did to solve my lack of faith and my lack of connection to my higher power, because I didn't know that once I had the conscious contact and presence of God in my life, I wouldn't need to eat. I wouldn't need to use other things. God was all that I ever needed, and I didn't know that. That was really powerful for me to realize, and it's really important to be reminded of that today. I'm home. I don't get to share on the meeting because I work in the mornings now. I used to work in the afternoon. I'm just so grateful that I can be reminded that the most important thing in the world for me today is the consciousness of my higher power and my contact. And it doesn't have to meet anyone else's standards. It doesn't have to be like anybody else's. It's just mine. And that's what's important. So I'm going to continue my day and go through the steps and finish listening to the meeting and do what I can do to help others, and hopefully tune in on Monday. Thank you all so much. I will pass.
Thank you, Lydia. Glad you're here. Gail K., you are up next, followed by Jamie M.
Hi, this is Gail K., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Laguna Hills, California. And I, too, like the previous speaker, was struck by the phrases, confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, and the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. And I always felt like I was underwater. Life, my entire life, seemed confusing and hard. It seemed like I had to work so hard at everything I did. And I was meditating on step one this morning, and it says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And I think sometimes, at least I know for me, I didn't focus so much on the second half of the first step. And it's ironic that this is a twofold disease. It's an allergy of the body, and it's a twist of the mind. And it's interesting then that we have two parts to the first surrender step. And it's interesting that they have the doctor's opinion and then Bill's story, and then we get into we agnostics, all of which come before they actually introduce the steps and before we talk about a power greater than ourselves or turning our will and our lives over to that power. My point is, on March 13th of this year, I came to the end of Gail. I was clear that my life had become unmanageable and that I was powerless over food. I knew I was powerless over food for many, many, many years before I connected the dot that my life had also become unmanageable, because I had worshipped at the altar of sin as well. And I thought, if only my hips were the right size, my life would be wonderful. And I believed that, and I worshiped that, and I sought that pretty much my entire adult life. So I'm just grateful for this program. I'm grateful for this book that has connected the dots for me, that I can see that it was the combination of the food addiction and my life and the realization that I'm not in control of the world. This recovery program connected the dots for that for me. And I surrendered, I worked the steps, and the steps worked in me. And so I do agree with these people that wrote this book, that I'm able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is the most important fact in my life today. It is my North Star. It is what directs and guides me. And now life, I'm traveling lighter. My higher
powers
are lifting, and I follow the directions. Thank you so much for letting me share this wonderful recovery.
Thank you very much, Gail K. Jamie M., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Tamara C.
Great. Thank you. I'm Jamie, compulsive overeater, here in Irvine, California, one day at a time. You know what I know is self-knowledge. I've learned so much coming to this vision for you since I moved back to California, and I listen to this meeting daily. Sometimes I'm present more than others, just the way it goes. And what I do know is that I didn't realize how much I made everything God. Well, if I'm sin, my life will be great. That was God. I get on the scale, that scale controls me. Everything I did, I wasn't connected to a higher power. I didn't even know what that was. And when I first didn't pick up the food, that was my first spiritual awakening. Like, wow, I didn't binge today. I didn't think about food. And my higher power had put these things in place. And now I'm here in California. I've got some allergies. I went to an allergist. I pray there's an answer. There may not be, but I'm not in charge of that. I took the action, just like I take and program daily. When I take the action that is suggested by God, by someone in this program, it really does work. When I try to drive my bus, do what I think is right, I have these things that do not work out for the benefit. So yesterday I had a show up. I got an interview. Two things I love, fitness and children. And you know what? They come natural to me. It's like brushing my teeth. Well, I've gone to some interviews at the same facility in Florida. I didn't get that job, okay? And now all of a sudden that same company is here. And I'm like, okay. And my sponsor worked with me. And I said, you know what? Self-knowledge is nothing. I could give the right answers that I studied with a coach and everything, or I can give the God answers and be me. So I just took my hands out. There's no gain. I'm still no job at that place, but I had a chance because I took the action. I showed up, and I could not believe my answers were coming out the way they were because I had passion for this program. They saw it in my face, and no, I did not give the self-knowledge answers, but I gave me with God. I don't have to fake that anymore. I don't have to ask as if. A couple of self-knowledge questions I answered that I had learned because they kind of were appropriate. But I used this program like the principles of my life. It was a miracle. I walked out of there and I said, well, now the last time I walked out of that same place, I was very disappointed because I thought I had the job. You know what I'm saying? Tripping future. And I said, you know what? As I called my sponsor, I'm proud of me. Because I showed up, if I don't get the job, that's okay. It's God's rejection for my protection. But I practiced again. It was practice. I learned, and maybe now I won't have as much fear to try to go. Thank you. Go to the next thing. So thank you, God. Thank you for this program, and I will continue to stay on this journey. I as an illness, we as a wellness, and I'm grateful to be a part of the week. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Jamie M. Tamara C., you are up next, followed by Reggie O.
Hey, this is Tamara C. Thank you for your service. Glad to be on this meeting with everyone. I'm from Missouri. I'm grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater today. This is a great reading, and this whole thing was really interesting to me about leaving aside the drink question, or for me the food question. My life was so unsatisfactory. I just did a 10th step on resentment toward having this disease of compulsive overeating, and resentment toward God for letting me have this, and then, you know, I was able to so quickly return to the truth that what a beautiful gift, because even if I didn't have this disease, I would have all of the stuff that led me to the food. I would still be, my life would be full of misery, and so this disease led me to the rooms and to the 12-step program, and to the such a beautiful new way of life. How was my life unsatisfactory besides all the misery of the food in my relationships with others? I wouldn't have thought that I was a controlling person, but I really was able to uncover that I really, in my thinking especially, in manipulative, kind, sweet ways, I was very controlling, like make you like me so you can give me what I want, and a lot of judging and comparing and competing, a lot of inauthenticity, approval seeking, playing this game of like, I'm going to be so nice and earn so many points, like this superiority, and then if people were nice and kind to me, then I had to scramble and be nicer back to them so I didn't owe anybody anything, just miserable relationships, like not, didn't allow me to just be real and just partner with people and enjoy them. And in my relationship with myself, just really driving myself in a lot of painful ways, always negative, always fearful, always full of resentment, and just chasing validation, not really paying attention to my feelings and wants and doubting myself, and just what a beautiful promise, the consciousness of the presence of God, that God uses these steps to clear the way so that I get to return to that stream of God consciousness. I get such sweet relief from my old painful way of operating. And today I have much better relationships where I just get to be there with people and validate them and validate myself and allow them to, and myself, to be human and make mistakes, and just get to really relax, be myself, and enjoy everyone. It's a beautiful gift. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Tamara C. Okay, Reggio is up next, and you'll be followed by Stephanie W.
Oh, thank you, Elaine. Thanks so much. My name is Reggie O, currently living outside of San Antonio, Texas. And I remember two plus years ago when my sponsor at the time was taking me through the steps and read this entire paragraph to me. And I remember it just landed, you know, there was something about it that resonated so deeply for me, you know, have come to believe, thousands of men and women have come to believe in a power greater than themselves. The consciousness of the presence of God, the most important fact of their lives, you know, the changes that come over them, faith. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm in one of those very cold areas, frigid areas, that where the electricity went out, the water froze, the well is frozen. I have no water. I'm sitting in front of an extra heater. And that's been going on for a while. And, you know, it's like, I do most of the work I do in the 12th step now is like 10, 11, and 12. And my sponsor and I work on 11 on a continual basis. And that consciousness of the presence of God, it was last night, it was getting chilly. I think it was 13 or 14 here last night in Texas. North Texas structures are built for that kind of weather. And the last thing I did before I went to bed was talk to a sponsee. This morning I have done, you know, this morning I've done all of my prayer practices and meditations. I've done my exercise. I've communicated with a sponsee. I've communicated with my sponsor and another friend in program. I've had tea with my next door neighbors that I'm having to use their toilet because mine won't flush. We're using well water to flush the toilet. And I'm sitting here, and throughout this whole thing, I've actually realized all the things that I have to be grateful for, you know. I do have a heater. I do have these friends next door. I do have this meeting. And, you know, all of the things I've done today, which were just seemingly natural, even though the circumstances weren't natural at all and aren't yet, I couldn't imagine not doing them, you know. I couldn't imagine doing what I need to do to stay connected to that consciousness, you know, that I happen to live in so much more today than I've ever lived in before, the consciousness of the presence of God. It is a different way of life, you know, and many days I feel like a different human being, but I think the human being is just, you know, coming into more and more of what God created this human being to be. Because, you know, it's like we let go of so much, you know, so much is letting go of that channel so we can be conscious of the presence of God and conscious for all of our blessings and conscious of other people. I used to be a very self-centered person, and thinking of other people and being present for other people turns out to be such a gift. And glad you all are here today, and I'll pass.
Glad you are too, Reggio. Thank you very much for your share. Stephanie W. is up next, and then we're going to take another lineup. We're at the end of page 50, reading the last word in the third. once confused, we're breaking that fourth paragraph in half. So just the word once confused on page 50 and finishing out the paragraph ending with a powerful reason one should have faith. So please share your thoughts on that with us, Stephanie W.
Yes, I'm Stephanie W. To me, with this portion of the reading kind of reminds me of the other part that was saying in the big book, that we don't have the power to remove our compulsive behavior. So we must depend on a power greater than ourselves that could. Because if we could remove it through self and through willpower, we wouldn't be in the shape that we're in today. And I know my best thinking is what got me up to 330 pounds. And so I had to really and truly get into practicing the presence of God and practicing and relying on his greater power that is greater than myself to restore me back to sanity and to get my eating under control. I find the weight is just, I really am learning what people mean, that the weight is just a symptom of what's going on, of a bigger problem. And that problem to me has been solved in, like the reader said, practicing a conscious contact with God daily and relying upon his presence. And without that, I would not be able to be abstinent. And to me, that's one of the keys within the step is, with step three, where we came to believe that there is a power greater than ourselves that could restore us to sanity. Just paraphrasing it. And that's how I've learned how to start living my life through this program, is through that conscious contact. And with that, I pay.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Stephanie W. Okay, we have time for maybe two or three shares. On this, if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, that would be great. We do value everybody's experience, but ask that you only share every few days so that we can hear from others as well. So if you'd like to share, star one to unmute. Let me know.
Becca R.
Joan R. Becca R. and Joan R. And I think then, yeah, let's just, no, I'm sorry, I'm getting my timing wrong. We may have time for one or possibly two more.
Janice
K. I heard Ann M. and somebody K.
Janice K.
Janice K. Okay, we'll do our best to fit everybody in. So Becca R., you'll be up next, followed by Joan R. Please share with us, Becca.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. Good morning, my family, my friends, my fellows. I love this reading. It's such a reminder to me of that changing that idea of getting my ducks in a row to letting God get my ducks in a row and to release the reins. I'm thinking of like Santa holding the reins on the sleigh. Like, turn them over. I'm no longer in charge. I have this this wonderful, loving higher power. And I look for the evidence. Yesterday I traveled with my three kids. We were on an airplane, and I was so afraid, you guys. I was so afraid of the weather, of the unpredictability, that baby, like so much fear. And then it just occurred to me, like, wait, that third step, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. And guess what? It was okay. And so now I've got yet another little piece of evidence to go to when I'm in that fear or that place of, you know, thinking I need to get my chicks in a row. So it's good to be here. I love this meeting. This was the first meeting I went to where I heard recovery, and I'm so grateful for it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Becca R. Joan R., you're up next. Please share with us.
Yes, thank you so much, everyone. The shares have been so, so wonderful, and thank you for all you who are doing service this morning. What I wanted to share was about faith. So it seems like lately from other fellows and from sponsors and stuff, the question of, you know, faith, you know, people that have been wounded by you know, their experience of faith, and people that you know, have their notions different, and of course in our program the need for turning around, that second step. And so I looked up the definition of faith, and it says that allegiance, number one, is allegiance to duty or a person, loyalty, two, belief and trust in God, and three, complete trust, and four, a system of religious beliefs. And what I get from that is that what we all know is that it, you know, there are as many ways to come to this awesome change in our lives as there are people. So to be open, honest, open, and willing, to me, is the most important way I work with my sponsees. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joan. Anne Marie, I'm sorry, Anne M. is up next, and you'll be followed by Janice K. Anne M.
Anne M. I was talking without being muted. Anne M. from Washington, and compulsive eater, and so happy to be able to share. It takes courage because I don't share much, but I wanted to share this piece of on this particular paragraph that what did happen to me. When I took a few simple steps, this was quite a few years ago, I found that humility developed as my strong recovery proceeded. And that was, but it took years, and I knew nothing about what humility was. I didn't know what pride was. And found out that this inordinate pride prevented me from accepting you know, that I don't know all the answers. And then when I found that I could find some peace of mind and freedom from the compulsion through working the steps and going to meetings, getting the sponsor, meditating, reading the literature, reaching out to other compulsive overeaters, the steps helped me to be honest, more honest and realistic about, well, you know, an assessment of my defects or the character trait that, you know, didn't serve me well. But I didn't even know that until OA. And I so am grateful for this program
everyone that I hear, it teaches me something, every single person. And even if I don't, I mean, strangers, of course, I'm talking about in my life in general, too, I can learn. And that's the humility part that I never realized, that I can do this. And it's just a daily reprieve, contingent on my spiritual condition. I need to be aware of that as much as possible. But I'm so terrifically thankful for the friends, for my family, where I am, that I'm breathing today, and that, you know, it's a more cheerful time of year for many of us. And thank you all for being part of my journey. And I pass.
Thank you too, Anne M, for being part of ours. Okay, Janice K is up next, and we've had some short shares here, so we'll have time for more shares on We Agnostics, page 50, the very end, the fourth sentence of that paragraph, once confused and baffled and ending with a powerful reason one should have faith. So Janice K, please share with us, and then we'll take a short lineup after that. Janice K, star one to unmute.
Okay, now I'm here. Thank you so much, moderator. This is Janice Kay in Oregon. And this whole thing is just, I love it. It's great. It's cool. This whole chapter is full of where we were and who we are. And there's this tremendous sense of looking back and seeing the journey spread out behind us as we speak to someone and say, yes, start. Take that first step. Come with us. It's worth it. I was reading this morning and I came across something. And it was a saying, and I have no idea where it came from. And the saying was, no one catches a wild horse by running after it, but only those who run after the wild horse ever catch him. And it's kind of a paradox. And I can substitute the two values that we hold dearest. No one catches abstinence by running after it, but only those who run after it will catch it. And there's God. No one catches God by running after him, but only those who run after him will catch him. And God seems to bless us with one ability or the other. And he uses that ability to drag us through. Oh, I think of it as going through, you know, I open the door as much as my fears allow. And then God takes my hand and pulls me through a knothole. Because he can do that. It's a chicken or egg thing. What comes first, God or abstinence? And I suspect that for some of us, it's abstinence, and for some of us, it's God. Eventually, God will get me where he wants me to be as long as I keep trudging the road. Paradox is truth standing on its head to get our attention. That's also from someone else. So lean into your strength. Strengthen your weakness. And trudge with us. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. Okay, we do have time for, I think, really one more share or two-minute shares. Let's do two-minute shares if anybody would like to comment. Star one to unmute.
This is Kristen C.
Kristen C.
Yes.
Joanne P.
And Joanne P. Okay, Kristen C., 2 minutes, please.
Thanks. I've really enjoyed listening to the shares today. I'm Kristen C., I'm a compulsive eater. I was just struck by trying to find the line where the person was expressing how he used to feel, or she used to feel, whoever wrote this, the futility of life. And I'm actually That is one of the things that brought me into the program, is I just felt such incredible futility of life that I didn't feel any meaning in my existence, and my compulsive eating disorder certainly didn't help my state of mind. That's for sure. It just fueled that negative thinking. And that was a few decades ago. And that feeling is creeping back in, because I'm just in a certain stage of life right now where everything's kind of upended and
I'm sorry, we lost you, Kristen. Star one to unmute. Okay, we'll try to double back to her. Joanne P., do you want to come on? Not sure what happened to Kristen.
Sure, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Oh, my goodness. I love this paragraph and all the shares that preceded. And just thank you to all of you for your service and for your, for your recovery. I'm Joanne P. from Pennsylvania, and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater by the grace of God. And when I look at these words and know that every day I am so thankful for my awareness of the presence of God in my life, it's like a miracle, really. The whole thing is a miracle. And I, even the fact that I'm abstinent is only by the grace of God. So, and complete surrender to God's will helps me to deal with life on life's terms, and to try to practice these principles in our daily life. And so, when I first came in here, I was very baffled and knew something was wrong with my brain. I couldn't lose weight. You know, I was getting bigger and bigger, and something was wrong. And wow, here I am. And by the grace of God, I'm finding joy in the escape. And love the humility that I've learned in doing these steps, and by surrendering and accepting everything, really, that God brings to us in our life. I'm just so thankful. And I wish you all a beautiful holiday weekend. Merry Christmas to those of you who celebrate Christmas. And thank you so much for letting me share that I pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne P., and thank you, everybody who has shared today. So appreciate it. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.